It's Wednesday, the 1st of March. Happy St. David's Day. You're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And you join us on St. David's Day, as I said, to look back at another four-point weekend for the Devils. Just, as ever, we'll ask a player of the week to skate forward, have a look at your Ramite suggestions for having a look around the league, and then previewing a big weekend of Devils action with a trip to Manchester on Friday, followed by the small matter of the Challenge Cup final in Ice Arena Wales on Sunday. We will kick off by going back to Saturday and talking about what is possibly the least eventful Coventry Cardiff game of all times, other than the eight goals. Sean, an absolute demolition job against a team that really looked like they didn't want to be there. Not a team that was battling to make the playoffs.
Yeah, we mentioned on last week's show that this was a game I was slightly concerned about. Coventry have obviously got a lot to play for, as we have in the race for that last playoff spot. So that concerned me a little going into the game. But we hammered Coventry. We absolutely demolished them. And to be quite honest, we don't look like we got out of second gear and we were coasting already for the Sunday game, way into the second period after we scored the third goal. And it was quite disappointing because Coventry games have always been really, really tight and really niggly, and they're just missing so much soul in that team. Kevin Noble's still missing, and they just, like you said, Paul, they looked like they didn't want to be there. They didn't play the way Danny Stewart used to play, the way that he's, you know, his philosophy towards the game was nowhere to be seen in that Coventry team. And it's nice to score some goals and sort of flex your offensive muscles, so to speak, and get different guys on the score sheet. But ultimately, quite a dull game, as you said.
Yeah, but you definitely was a good chance for a bit of scoring to go around the team. Denny Kearney got his first goal. Luke Piggott got his second of the season. So, and Ben Brown's got an assist. Everyone loves a goalie assist. Do you have any particular highlights from the game for you, Aaron, in terms of Devils' performance or moments?
I'm going to jump straight into the third period, and for me it was Denny Kearney getting his first Devils goal, and what a beauty of a goal it was. Danced around two or three Blaze players, smashed it past Blaze back up, and it wasn't exactly a difficult goal for him to score. But it was pretty, and he looked like he enjoyed it. And hopefully, he can score another 50 odd before the end of the season.
I think my highlight of it was also concerning Denny Kearney, and it was actually the pass for the second goal, scored by Guillaume Doucette, scoring his third goal in three games. He just drifts up through the right wing, coasts into the slot, and the little drop pass right to Doucette in prime scoring area was absolutely inch perfect. It was a great, great play.
Yeah, another great night for Kearney, who's just really gone from strength to strength since he joined us. A really good performance, but as we said, it's not necessarily the best of games to judge a player's performance, because there was so little against him. It does feel like we talk about Coventry's problems a lot, but Sean, you mentioned that Danny Stewart, he's really not got that team playing the way you would expect a Danny Stewart team to play. Maybe that's not his coaching philosophy. But sticking with the Stewarts, Brian Stewart, he didn't seem to lose his head. He just didn't seem
his head to care. His head never turned up.
And there's problems, through the team, but Brian Stewart's a guy that Coventry have ridden for over two seasons to successive playoff finals, scraping into the playoffs, getting wins they don't deserve. And he's not that, well, on Saturday night's performance, he's not a goalie that you could ride anywhere.
No.
Except for, they look like a team fighting for 10th spot with Edinburgh rather than a team fighting for 9th with Dundee and Manchester. No one's fighting for 9th. No one wants that one. It sucks. We speak from experience. Really, that's probably the quickest we've ever spoken about a Coventry game. But Sean, unless there was anything else of note, I feel like we should move on.
Yeah, interesting to see that even though they were playing so badly, they still only gave Garrett Klotz a shift in the middle of the second period.
And you know, in a game where we'd rested Patrick Bordlow as well, so you know, we're not a team lacking toughness, but you know, you would have thought Klotz is the type of guy to go out there and maybe cause a bit of hassle, knowing that the main threat for the Devils isn't around. So yeah,
and you look, like I said, you look at Coventry and what they actually have to play for, and that's an organisation that's getting good crowds, and they're at real risk of missing, you know, missing out on another home game, which is, you know, where their money's going to come from, and where probably a large portion of their early budget is going to come for the start of next season. So they're in some real danger of missing out, and it's going to cost them in the long run. I think that, you know, it's such a shame that Coventry are just nowhere to be seen, and they just don't look like they want to be involved anymore in actually even competing at this stage of the year, which, like I said, is a real shame.
Interesting to note, though, that the previous weekend they had a split weekend with Nottingham, and on Sunday night beat Manchester, I think, and it was after overtime, I think it went to penalties. So you're, for a team that looked so atrocious, they've taken 2 points in each of their last two weekends, and to be honest, that sort of return will probably see them into the playoffs, I would imagine. But an interesting one. Moving on to Sunday night, and the Devils had the long trek up to Scotland to face the 10th, you know, first played 10th, up in the very, very cold Murrayfield. A few intrepid Devils fans made the long journey up, and well, they had a bit of a treat to start, you know, a bit of a rarity. Just over 3 minutes in, Chris Jones gets his second goal of the season with the assists from Patrick Bordalo and David Bryan. A bit of a greasy goal, Sean, with you know, Chris Jones just being in the right place.
Yeah, for sure. Bordalo drives up the left wing, drops a pass off to David Bryan, who basically fans on the shot. He just scuffs it and it goes towards the net. Chris Jones is driving to the goalie, as you'd expect a fourth line to get in deep, and the puck which, so excuse me, the shot which David Bryan actually fires in there sort of bounces up off of Travis Fullerton and over him, and then Jones makes no motion to bat it in, but his momentum that he's already created manages to push him into the path of the puck, and we get a bit of a fluke goal, but you go to the net and good things will happen.
Yeah, definitely. You know, good to see your fourth line crash in the net, as you said. It's the main thing you're looking for from them. And you know, the next sort of, I thought sort of the opening 10 minutes or so, you know, the Devils looked quite comfortable, and then I started to get horrible flashbacks to Nottingham away last Tuesday, when Ian Schultz tied the game up after the Capitals had really started to find a bit of zone time and put us under pressure.
Yeah, and it was a well-worked goal. They passed the puck in from out wide. Hotham nearly gets on the end of it, but he's under a good bit of pressure from one of the Caps forwards, and the pass just evades him, and Schultz gets on the end of it and fires a great shot block aside on Ben Barnes.
Yeah, and things just, and pretty much as the first period finished that way, didn't it? And yeah, probably just deserves, Aaron, did you think, when Pavel Vorobyev, or what, I realise I don't know any of that.
Pavel Vorobyev.
That one.
Aaron's
better than me, it's a bad day. But yeah, did you think it was a fair reflection of the first period? Caps taking a 2-1 lead in?
Possibly, you know, the first 10 minutes, I think we had a number of chances that we didn't capitalise on. And then, you know, Caps had the better of the second half of the first period, and they capitalised on their chances. So it was probably quite a fair reflection. But I think if we jumped on our chances a little bit better, we would have been flying. And I don't even think Edinburgh would have gone into the game. But, you know, things go backwards when we play lower table teams.
It's worth noting that the real highlight of that first period was the Schultz goal, because obviously Chris Jones's was a bit of a stroke of luck. And then Vorobyev basically goes to pass the puck into the crease and it comes off Matthew Myers' skate. So, oh, well, was that the, yeah, that was their second goal. So, one lucky bounce either way and then the one good goal from the cap. So, I think that I think we created more chances, but they took, like Aaron said, they just took better advantage of the chances they had and probably did deserve to go into the period break with a one goal lead.
Yeah, and but not a lead that you would imagine would have massively stressed the Devils. You know, obviously, you know, positions in the table don't lie. There's a massive gap, and you would expect Devils to have enough to close it. And the second period saw a lot more offense from the Devils, Sean, but started to look like they were maybe getting a little bit frantic at times and, you know, desperate to get that equaliser, even though it was so early in the game.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you, Paul, that I thought that it was coming to the stages at the end of the second period where I thought we were desperately trying to press so badly for that equalising goal that we were leaving ourselves exposed at the back. And even though we were gunning for it, we still weren't getting that many good, high-quality chances. And we talk about that fourth line just going to the net, and 16 minutes and 30 seconds into the second period, we get exactly that again. David Bryan goes into the point, floats one on the net, and Bordeleau scores a great deflection. It's almost identical to the motion in the Challenge Cup game in Belfast. The deflection on it is simply sublime. It's flying through the slot and gets a stick on the end of it, bounces, ricochets it down on the ice and over Travis Fullerton for a 2-2 game going into the second period break, which I felt like we did create enough to equalise and take the game into the third period tied. So I was quite pleased with that and ultimately great for Patrick Bordeleau to get on the score sheet yet again, bouncing back after being sat against Coventry.
Yes, a bit of a theme at the moment. The player sat seems to be bouncing back with a goal the next game. To be interesting to see what happens on Friday night, when I've just totally forgotten who was sat, I realised. Who did sit, Sean?
Culligan.
When was this now? Saturday was Bordeleau. Sunday was Chris Culligan.
Chris Culligan. It totally confused me because the game sheet on the website has Chris Culligan on it. I was just double checking who it was and they put him on there just to confuse me. So it took us into the third period and finish scoreless, but you know, I thought the three periods of hockey, well, the whole game of hockey, Sean, was really enjoyable and really Edinburgh made little of the nine places between us in the league.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I thought Edinburgh were excellent. They take full advantage of being on that big ice surface. They got some very, very good skaters. And I think that their goalie this year is personally, I really liked him when he played at Braehead last year, and I think they've got a real, real gem in him. If they can keep him next year, then they're going to go on and hopefully push for a playoff spot again next year and sort of move up the league table. And like you said, they didn't look like a team that were just playing for pride. They looked like they were gunning for a playoff place. And to be honest with you, how they're down there, I don't understand. When you look at the way Coventry played on Saturday and then you look at the way that Edinburgh played on Sunday, how they are, you know, even close to each other in the table is beyond. And Edinburgh run us really good, really hard and right to the wire. And yeah, full credit to them. They were really good.
Yeah, and running us hard and to the wire kept that third period scoreless. And overtime followed. And, you know, Devils got a point, which obviously happy with, but looking for the two. And I know from where I was watching, that Aaron and myself watched the webcast together, things, well, for us, I don't know about the players, but things got a little bit tense in that overtime period.
Yeah, just as you said, Paul, you know, me and you, you could say it was like edge seat stuff, but I was just hoping and praying that we could get the 2 points out of the game. You know, a point would have done us fine and kept us in contention at the top, but we needed that 2 points. And when I think it was Joey, your dad, managed to push the puck over the line, it was just an absolute bundle of joy. You know, me and Paul got a little bit excited, and I think I'd say a good 30 minutes to an hour, we were still nervous, excited, you know, all different kind of emotions was flowing out of us, and it was just unbelievable. And we wasn't even there, so just watching on the webcast, it's just, this season is intense.
It is, and you know, my main concern was the whole time I just thought if we didn't take 4 points this weekend, it would just possibly allow a little bit of doubt to creep into the mind of the team. And you know, I was just thinking, oh, if we drop a point to Edinburgh, it's not going to damage the league as such, but you know, could it hurt the psyche of the team? But you know, Joey, your dad has been clutch all season, Sean, and came up big for us with that overtime winner.
Yeah, definitely. And it's you look at the goal, and it's Joey, your dad, from Gleeson Fournier and Denny Kearney. Kearney plays an absolute blinder, just going hard to the net, sort of drags Jared Stahl in with him. And there was the question on the webcast and on the highlights of whether there was a man in the crease, but I think that Stahl is putting enough pressure on him so that Kearney can't get out of the slot, out of the crease. And so in that case, it's fair game. And Joey, your dad, makes no mistake. He carves into the slot and just absolutely rips one. And like you two, I just went crazy. I went to my parents to watch it, and I think I scared my mum. I think she thought someone had died in my house because I was just screaming so loudly. I was so excited. And it's another step towards what we're hoping for. And I think to go into overtime with, you know, that stress, that risk of losing a point, and it's just another situation that this team proves that they have the nuts and the bottle and everything about them to go on and do great things. And that is what we need. I think we needed that sort of reality check again after Nottingham brought us down to earth a bit. We realised it wasn't going to be as easy as we thought it would be. And to get a result like that in Murrayfield, which is still a hard place to go, fight against some bad bounces. And I thought the referee had a very, very good game personally. But he let a lot go. And that's where a team like perhaps ourselves suffers, with so much skill and talent, that the hooks and the slashes and all that sort of thing aren't called so much. But we just sucked it up and went for it, and thankfully we got that extra point, and it just proves how much bottle this team has got.
Yeah, the number of games that we've dug out at the end of, you know, in third periods being down, yeah, overtime wins, this definitely shows the heart and makeup of the team. And speaking of the makeup of the team, who was the one who stood out the most? Player of the week time. We haven't done any spoilers this week, so Sean, do you want to go first?
I think I spoiled it last week. Can you pass it on?
Aaron, then.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the new guy, Denny Kearney. First home game, he showed up, showed us what he could do, scored a booty of a goal and got another point. And then on Sunday in Edinburgh, he managed to get a point on the game-winning goal. So, I thought he played fantastic. And if we can keep him for next season as well, what we've seen at the moment seems like he's going to bring a lot of good things. So I'll go with Denny Kearney.
And Sean, your pick goes to...
I'm going to go a bit out of left field. I'm going to go with David Bryan. I thought he worked very, very hard on Saturday in a game where it could have been anyone, because it was such a demolition. And I thought he played well on Saturday, and then he has two massive, massive clutch points in that game in Edinburgh, which is, you know, the top guys weren't scoring, and David Bryan just chips in on the score sheet, and those are the games that count, and where you need, that's where you win a title, basically, is by getting those guys lower down the lines to chip in, contribute. Patrick Bordalow gets on the end of one of his passes and scores. And yeah, I just think he worked hard and doesn't get enough recognition, so I'm going to go with David Bryan.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm sure you made a strong case for David Bryan, but my original selection was Denny Kearney, and I'm going to stick with that. As Aaron said, he's been a really, you know, one of the standouts in pretty much every game he's played in the five he's had since joining us. A beautiful first goal as a Devil, and you know, got an assist on the overtime goal, as well as creating havoc in and around, maybe in mainly, the crease for Joey Haddad's overtime winner. So congratulations to Danny Kearney, who wins the Player of the Week in just his second week as a Cardiff Devil. So a very good start for him. It's time to get the thoughts of our listeners and Twitter followers now. So we're going to throw it over to Sean for the Ramite suggestions that we've had this week.
We are indeed. We did have a couple, so thank you for sending them in. We had Derek Farr. He said, loves that our mindset is much better this year. We're playing with grit, guts, and determination. We are playing proper Devils hockey. Hayley at Solace84 said she loves that Benty is back and that Kearney scored on his home debut. And we did have one from Kristen Evans saying, wonder what the hate will be for Rahmite. Sad that it overshadowed such a great performance. I think he's probably referring to the shirt of his back debacle of Saturday night, Paul.
Yes, the debacle is the right word. Todd Kalman has put a thing out apologising and saying why it went wrong, but it was a bit of a dampener. And, you know, Sean and myself, who, you know, sold a lot of, you know, Sunday was crazy, Saturday, so it was crazy busy selling tickets. It did sort of make it a little bit sour, and it would be right up there with my hates for the weekend, because overall there wasn't a lot else to have a problem with on the weekend. So if that's as bad as it gets for the rest of the season, then I think I'd probably be happy with that. But if it does happen again, I'll have a right tantrum. So that is Rahmite. Quite a quick one. Thank you for everyone. We'll hopefully have a few more. And, you know, it's good that we're not getting a lot of hates through. I think it's a testament to the results and the way they're going at the moment. So, having a little look around the league and starting a bit, you know, not having a direct impact on the Devils, but in the Belfast-Nottingham game on Sunday night. Yeah, Sunday night. Robert Farmer put a play in that is probably probably the worst thing that's been done this season, Sean, would you say, that's been picked up by Dops?
It's right up there. I'm sure if they picked up Craig Peacock slash the Derek Walters head to be up there, but they didn't pick it up. So, based on what the category asking.
They reviewed it. Didn't give him a ban.
Well, in which case, then, it's up there with the worst things. But this time they dealt with it properly. Well done, Dops.
Well done, Dops. David Rutherford giving Farmer a little bit of a jip at face-off circle. Unlike David Rutherford, obviously, you know, usually not known for being such an irritating little word. But Robert Farmer reacted by slashing his stick at him and then cross-checking him right in the face. Aaron, a nasty hit, but he can't be the first player who's wanted to do it, but it's not something you can act on, is it?
It looked really nasty from the footage that I've seen, you know. Takes his stick right up high and no care for Rutherford at all, just go straight for the face. And I hear there was a lot of blood after the incident as well, and I think the ban that he received, which was 5 games, was definitely warranted. Probably I've seen things more dangerous this season, like when we've seen someone take a stick to Walsh's head, I think it was, and that didn't warrant a game. But, you know, but it was definitely a ban, definitely, well, I'd say a 5-game, and very, very nasty. I didn't expect to see that from Rob Farmer, but the way Rutherford plays, he gets in people's skin and he grinds my gears just watching, so I couldn't imagine playing with him.
An interesting one with the 5 games as well, Sean, in terms of the impact it's going to have on us, that those 5 games are going to cover 2 games Nottingham play Belfast and 1 where they play Sheffield, so... You're obviously a loss, you know, Robert Farmer is a big part of that Nottingham team. But also interestingly, it's probably unlikely that Nottingham would appeal it, because if they weren't successful, the ban, I assume, would run into the playoffs, because 5 games takes us up to the end of the season.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a shame that it has to impact against us, because I don't think that Nottingham want either team. I think if you have to ask the Panthers fans, then out of the teams which are in the hunt for the title, I think that most of them would say they'd rather us win it than Belfast or Sheffield. But that's irrelevant. Nottingham have got to go up there, and I think they're pretty nailed on for their league position as well. So I don't think they have entirely a lot to play for, but momentum. And they're missing out on Rob Farmer, who's been a standout player for them this year. He's scored 12 goals, 20 assists for 32 points in 42 games. And he's been playing on that line with Brian McGrattan. And Brian McGrattan and himself have built up a great partnership. And he just scores on big goals. And like Aaron said, it's not really in his character to do silly things like that. But he just gives you a bit of everything. He can score goals. He can hit. He'll fight if you need him to. He'll just do anything you want. And they're going to miss him because he is definitely a massive part of that team. And with the injuries they've got, they could really do without being another Brit down. So it's difficult that... Oh, sorry, it's hard to stomach that he's going to be missing for two games against Belfast and one against Sheffield, but we could, like we were chatting earlier, it could all prove to be irrelevant what happens in those games, but it'd be nice if they were, if they could have done us a little bit of a favour and he could have not been melted.
Yes, any favour is gratefully accepted, but as you said, it is safely in the devil's hands, and following what happened after the end of the Devils game on Sunday, it became a little bit more in our hands. Fife doing us again. You know, Fife have now turned over the top three in the league in Fife this season, having beaten Belfast just a couple of weeks ago. They turned Sheffield over 6-3 and with an empty net goal wrapping it up. But, you know, a massive result for Fife and, you know, big help for the Devils, Sean. You know, after the Edinburgh game, Devils were looking at needing 9 points to guarantee the title, and you know, that drop point just took it down to 8, and just makes it seem that little bit more achievable, putting it into 4 wins.
Yeah, of course it does, and it makes it more sort of bearable that we went to Fife and lost, and often you look back and you think now back to that game in Fife, and you think, oh, we could be 2 points closer if we hadn't dropped a game in Fife. But Fife are a very, very good side. And like you said, they've turned over ourselves, Belfast, Sheffield. I think they beat Nottingham a couple of times as well.
They beat Nottingham as well on the triple header, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So they're by no means an easy team to face. And they've got some very, very good players there. Their netminder's outstanding. You've got guys like Brendan Brooks, Matt Siska, all got on the score sheet. Justin Fox. Interesting that this is the game that Justin Fox should probably have been suspended for. But due to the appeal lodged by Fife, he's able to play on until the result of that appeal comes. So may have left a bit of a...
And got the fifth goal that was probably the one that sealed the tie to make it 5-3 halfway through the third. So.
And you watch the highlights, and Fife scored some great goals. They're a very, very, very good side, and they create they do score some wonderful goals. And like you said, I actually put a bet on Sunday afternoon that we would win by 2 and Sheffield would win by 2, and I put a tweet up and I've never ever been more happy to lose money in my life.
a great
result from Fife's perspective and from our perspective, and I've seen so many Sheffield fans just give up and say that that's it, knocked it on the head and said that it's over, but I don't buy it yet. I think that if there's a team that knows how to win a title from, sorry, the doldrums of that, then it's Sheffield, and they're not going to give up easily, I don't think.
No, you can't seem to know, but, and obviously with two games against us, coming up, that, you know, they've got an 8-point, well, they need to gain 8 points on us, but they can get 4 of those. And then both of those games are in Sheffield as well, so yeah, that's right in their hands. And then another 4 points game puts us tied, and you know, you're going to think the regulation wins. If we've lost 4 games, they're probably going to be doing all right in regulation wins compared to us, unfortunately. But also, you know, it also puts Belfast into second. You know, Belfast are now a point above Sheffield and possibly the team to be watching out for. So it's going to be nip and tuck for the rest of the season, I think, and It's one of those things. If we were Sheffield, if we were Belfast, we'd be sitting here saying, it's probably done, let's try and keep winning. But
yeah,
we're not, you know, you can't think like that when you hear the team that's out. You just, all I can think about is ways in which it could go horribly wrong. And talking about,
yeah,
definitely.
And talking about what a good team that Fife are is just another way it could go horribly wrong with them being one of the 7 games we've got left.
Yeah. It's interesting that we've only dropped, I think we've dropped 3 points in Scotland. Or we even dropped 2.
We lost two, only the two
only the 2-5 with one more game against that conference on the road. So, which is Friday.
Oh, sorry. I always forget the Manchester camp is that conference.
Yeah, so that is their, and then that's what, you look at the haul we've taken from Scotland this year. That is a great, great haul from last year. That was where we ultimately went wrong and where it all went downhill. We lost a couple of games in Scotland and
about 5 points up there, I think, last season.
Yeah, and we'd already beaten that by the triple header this year, and we'd already beaten it, and we've gone up there and won a couple more. We won in Fife, and then we won in Edinburgh. So we've done really well in Scotland this year, and testament to the guys, is we've been a great road team this year. Ultimately,
yeah, five road losses I think all season.
Which is a great record. Oh. Yeah, we've lost one. I think we've lost two in Nottingham. Did we lose three league? Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Three league in Nottingham, one in Belfast and one in Fife, which is, you know.
Incredible. What a record. That's unbelievable.
That's a road record that, you know, most teams would, any team would be more than happy with. Mm-hmm. That's the league table. It makes me a little bit sick every time I look at it or think about it. So I think we'll move on to something that's making me feel equally as sick, and that is Manchester away on Friday. A game that I think Sean and myself, we were planning on going up to anyway and planning on being part of a small number of fans, but a crazy response from Devils fans means there's a busload of almost 60 people going up, well, possibly going to be over 60 people by the time we get there, going up to join. I'm already driving up, unfortunately, for plans for the weekend, but, you know, a good bunch of driving fans. So there's going to be a massive road support in Nottingham.
Manchester, even. Let's hope they get on the right bus and go to Manchester instead of Nottingham.
Well, Sean is running the bus, so there is a chance that it could end up in Nottingham. So, you know, it's all on you, Sean. You've got to get them there.
Yeah, and I'll do it.
Hopefully you won't end up in Manchester either, because you'd be in the wrong place again. Gets altering them. But a big game, Sean, and obviously with a final on Sunday, it'll be important for the Devils to keep focused. And I'm assuming the way that Lord's got the team drilled this year, that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I think it'll be the same approach as it's been to every game, one game at a time. They're two separate competitions. We need the two league points, but we also could really do with winning a final at home as well. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it. Manchester have got some great talent. The netminder is very, very good. They've got some very good scorers in Darian Dzinski. As a prime example, I think he scored two in Coventry on the weekend. We got to take them seriously. We can't sort of go up there, play for two periods and sort of sit back in the hope that we got a cup final on Sunday and it'll give us a bit of rest. We got to bring a 60-minute performance. They're going to bring it. They're in a bit of a race for a playoff spot. So we've got to be at our best. And it's a cliche, but the fans going up can really be the sixth man on the ice and hopefully spur the team onto victory.
I've always thought that sixth man saying is a bit unfair on the goalie because he's already the sixth man. But never mind. obviously a big game, Aaron, and you know, going to be important for the Devils to adjust to the smaller ice that Manchester have got. You know, reverting, you know, who are playing in that crash bang style that we operated so effectively in the tent for a number of years.
Exactly, Paul. You know, we've done it well, so well over the last 2 years, and I have no doubt that Manchester will find their feet and do exactly the same as what we did. But I think I'm a little worried about this game because although it is one game at a time, and Lord knows it's one game at a time, and all the players do too. But it's still, I'll still have the niggling feeling that, like, we've got the cup final on Sunday. I know it's not as important as the league, but it'll still be in the back of the minds, and I think it could cause us a little problem. And Manchester, a great team, play great hockey. I just hope that we can settle down and play the hockey we know we can play, even if the guys who played in the tent last year revert to the old style of the way they played and use it to our advantage. But obviously we got to rest the guy. Who would you sit for the Manchester game?
I think for the whole weekend is a big question. I think you'd like to think that Lord has got an idea of who's sitting on Sunday, and if it's between a couple of people,
I wouldn't sit any of those against Manchester. So whether it's someone a little bit left field that you wouldn't expect, or if Lord fully intends to play on Sunday, I think you could make a case for Lord benching himself Friday night to get a watch of the team. But saying that, Sean, I think Andrew Lord's the type of player you want on that small ice if it becomes a crash bang game.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. He was so influential in the games that we played in the tent, and Manchester's a place where we've struggled from memory. We've struggled to score goals there this year, and that's because they keep it so tight. We don't quite know how to win as easily there anymore because we don't do it every week. We do it very, very rarely. And so I'd like to think that Lord would play that game on Friday. And it's so difficult with regards to Sunday because we'll talk on the game in just a second. But you look at the guys who got us to the final. You look at the roster that was here. So that means you would set out Kearney. I think Kearney's played very well and has a big part to play in our future and on the big ice. And I really, really think he's a valued member of the squad already. I know it sounds terrible, but I kind of hope someone's taken a knock because it makes that choice so much easier for the coach and takes such a massive, massive lift off a weight off his shoulders. But I have a terrible feeling that Chris Culligan may be the one who takes the brunt of that, which is a shame because you look at that cup final we won a couple of years ago. He's got the game-winning goal. We need a two-way guy, and it's a one-off game. We've got to be at our best. We've got to have a bit of versatility. You know, we've got to be very versatile, offer a different dynamic. If our top lines aren't going, Culligan's a guy who can step into the play and score a big goal at any time. And to be honest with you, if they're all fit on Sunday, and I'm Andrew Lord, I put faith in the guys who got me to the cup final, and I add Kearney into the mix, and I stand on the bench myself. It's a one-off game. It's all about how we make those game time decisions, and I think Andrew Lord is the perfect person to sit in that game. And ultimately, it gives a bit of faith to the players. They know that the coach has put trust in them. He's not put himself above anyone on the roster, and it sort of gives them that little bit of a lift, and I think it would really pay dividends for that sort of mentality in the final, and then to go down the stretch.
Yeah, I think obviously every game, the decision to rest someone is a big one. There's always going to be someone disappointed, but you know, this is probably the game where it will most affect the player that does miss out. So, you know, potentially that having Andrew Lord sit in it is the decision that you make to alleviate that. Obviously, he's not going to sit there sulking with himself or benching himself, but
yeah, exactly.
Unless things don't go well and he sits there thinking, oh, I should have played, but I don't know, it wouldn't happen. But we got slightly digressed from Manchester, and so we might as well move straight into Sheffield on Sunday. And I don't know about you two, but it really doesn't feel like there's a cup final this weekend. I don't know if it's because it's in Ice Arena Wales, so it's a home game, so I'm just thinking it's just another game. But Aaron, it's, for me, or is it the league importance? It just doesn't feel like it's happening to me.
I can see where you're coming from. I felt exactly the same as you up until probably about 10 minutes ago, where I think that it sunk in and it's, you know, it's a trophy that put this club back on the map. It's the trophy that we've made our third final in 3 years. It's a trophy that we got beaten very, very unluckily against Nottingham. You know, we went with three lines and a bit. Nottingham played four lines. It worked perfectly for them and they won the game. But this is going to be a different story. Sheffield, they owe us one. We beat them in their rink. You know, we're 5-6-1 this year against them. So they're going to look to come out and do some serious damage. And it's a game I'm nervous for because, one, I've only seen us lift one trophy, but I loved it. If we can lift another one, even, I don't want to say even if we don't win, lift the league, because I'll still be devastated if we don't, but I think with silverware, any final you make is do or die, and I think this team has that kind of spirit, and I really do believe that we can do it, and I am really, 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 really nervous for it.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. I feel a lot worse for that. Sean, Aaron mentioned, you know, it's at home, you know, and the 5-1 record that we've got over Sheffield at the moment. Do you think the complaints that Paul Thompson has made around the Sheffield play on Saturday, I'm assuming everyone will have seen the Sheffield play on Saturday against Coventry, put a request in to move it to Friday, and a league rule that they brought in after their tantrum over the One Direction issue with Belfast last season. According to Paul Thompson, Todd Kelman reminded the league that rule existed and got the fixture move blocked. Do you think that rant from Thompson is a start of mind games, or do you think it shows the pressure that he's feeling because of the record he's got against us, Sean?
No, I do think it's the start of mind games. I think it's mainly the start of mind games with his own players. I think that's going to really gee them up. They're going to be tired, there's no doubt. Well, I say they're going to be tired. They're playing Coventry on Saturday, so they may as well just not play if they play the way that if Coventry play the way they did against us, then you know they'll probably be just as well rested as us. So it's hard to say. I think that the rule is perfectly fine. I think that if Sheffield went into that scheduling, that fixture meeting, with the mindset that they knew that the cup final was going to be on this Sunday and they elected to play on the Saturday. To me, that says that they don't value the competition as much. You know, they should know that that league rule is in place, given that they were the reason it was implemented last year. And when they got through you know, you've got that window after the group stages to change it. If for whatever reason it all goes catastrophically wrong and you don't make the group stages, then I can understand the sort of scheduling of the Saturday game, because it will draw in a bigger crowd than a Friday game, for example. But even at quarterfinal stages, you have got enough of a window to get it moved. And if you value the competition that much, you're going to give yourself the best chance to win that competition. And Sheffield haven't done that. And it's at their own detriment, basically.
It is, and you look at the fixtures on Friday, ourselves and Nottingham, two teams who, you know, over the last 2 years, Nottingham a lot longer than us, have contested finals. Nottingham have won a ridiculous number of Challenge Cups. Both have elected to play on Friday this weekend, so I think it does show the mindset there that for us and Nottingham, we've valued that high enough to move a fixture to a day that you wouldn't normally play hockey on. Obviously, last season, we played Nottingham on the Friday, so it's not even like this is a new idea that Sheffield hadn't expected to happen. So it happened last season. They could have done it again. But you know, it's interesting, like Belfast play Saturday, Brayhead play Friday and Saturday. I don't know if they were both scheduled in at the start of the season, but it may show what their hopes or care about the Challenge Cup was for this year. Yeah, so that side has been a rant from Paul Thompson, and there's been some moaning on Twitter, mainly from the fan base, around the fact that while Sheffield are allocated as the home team, the home dressing room is going to be taken by the Devils. Obviously, Sheffield will have all the benefits of being the home team with the second change on stoppages. But my attitude on it is that when we went to Sheffield for the final 2 years ago in Sheffield, I believe we were the home team based on the way the draw was done, and Sheffield took the home dressing room there. So you know, the precedent was set 2 years ago. Same teams, different ring, same outcome for me. Aaron, just a bit of a storm in a teacup for you. That this is it that important? Who has the home dressing room?
I think it's. I don't think so, because it's not played in the dressing room. It's played on the ice, and although it is nice that the Devils get their own dressing room. You know, they get to sit in there. Own stall and do their own pre-game rituals the way they do for home games, it benefits them. But if they had to do it in a different dressing room, I don't think it'd affect them. And I genuinely do think that if something like that did happen, it would rile players up and make them want to take blood, not in a mean way, but you catch my drift. But I just feel like Sheffield now playing too many mind games. You know, they're gonna wanna get under the devil's skin, under Lord's skin, you know, just to, you know, give Lord some sleepless nights, give him a couple of worries of what to do and things. You know, it's going to be a difficult game anyway without that kind of stuff. And I genuinely do that we do hope we can just absolutely destroy him and not have to worry about it again. But another thing on the final, this is like obviously a ridiculous statement, but do you think that with Sheffield playing Coventry on Friday and Sheffield being 6 points behind the league leaders, do you think they'll take it easy and possibly risk dropping 2 points just to have the advantage of winning, lifting the trophy on Sunday?
I don't think they would. Sean?
I don't think they're going to take it easy. I think that Sheffield are going to try and go for it right till the end. If they think it's over, then they think it's over, and they'll sort of rest a couple of guys and go about it that way. But I think they're cheating their fans a bit, really. You know, they're playing at home, and the people have paid good money to go and see them and all that sort of thing. So I don't think they'll do that. Most interesting for me is whether they're going to make this. If they truly have given up on it, then this is their trophy to win. You know, they're going to want to win it, and they're going to want to put a bit of a halt to our momentum, so to speak, in the league campaign, in the hope that we slip up and they can take advantage. But it's written in the stars, isn't it? Listen, we played in Sheffield a couple of years ago, beat them in their own barn in the cup final when they were heavy favourites. We're heavy favourites in this game, there's no doubt about it. And I think it's almost biblical that they're going to win this one, but I'd love to see us win it. And as much as the league title for me is the priority, as it always should be and as it always will be, I'd still love to win the Challenge Cup again. Like Aaron said, it's the only trophy I've ever seen us win, albeit one more time than Aaron, but still a trophy and a competition which holds so many special memories for me. So I'm hoping we can do it.
Yeah, most definitely. It's at the start of the season, I'd said out of all the trophies, well, not all the trophies, not the conference trophy, obviously, but out of the three important trophies, the Challenge Cup would be the bottom of the list of the one that I wanted us to win, because I'd seen us win it a couple of times. But it's when you get to now, you sort of think of, you know, the place, you know, like you said, the memories, you know, how important it is to the club. And as Aaron said, it put us back on the map 2 years ago. And it's against them lot, isn't it? It's that lot. You don't want them to win anything against us.
At home as well. You don't want to lose it at home.
Lifting a trophy in our... Oh, it makes you feel just a little bit... Ugh. don't like it.
Paul, who do you think will set that game? Gut feeling.
Gut feeling is Kearney. Thinking about it more, I think it'll be Lord, but my gut feeling is Kearney. That's like my instant thought on the matter. That Lord will go fully with the team from the Belfast semi-final. But who knows? And you never, you know, someone could play themselves out of the lineup on Friday in Manchester if they're looking ahead too much and you're putting a bad performance. Lord may decide to make a decision to drop someone based on form, which would be an interesting move. I think that's the final done. I 10 minutes ago, I said I didn't feel like it was a final, and you two have managed to get me very stressed about it. So thanks for that. Looking forward to another sleepless night thinking about ice hockey and
I think we were all stressed, and you'll have, you know, consumed far too much cider on Friday and Saturday to even realise there's a final on Sunday. It'll just be another game.
It'll just be another game. I really don't think so.
No, nor do I.
Already.
I was just trying to make you feel a bit better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the effort.
Thank you.
Right, well, that's the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please do send us your Rahmites this weekend. I'm hoping it's a lot of loves and not a lot of hates after Sunday's final. Yeah. But from me, Sean, and Aaron, thank you for listening. And that is your Red Army Rounder.
Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil.